Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, is my lovely wife, my co-host, and my best friend, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Melissa's in pink, so she's going to be, I don't know, sassy, adversarial. Confrontational.
Yeah.
She's on. Mm-hmm. We did behind the scenes, and Mel is looking for a fight.
I just solved all our problems.
Yeah.
In this intro, we're just gonna have spaghetti for Thanksgiving.
Oh, great! Oh.
Yeah.
Great.
Uh-huh.
No, you
spaghetti Thanksgiving.
I feel a little bit like that scene in The Incredibles where she keeps trying to fight him and he's just happy to see them, you know, and he says that
she's
at one point. Yeah, because she thinks he cheated or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're starting to start fighting, I'm just happy to see you. It's really... Engage, Bob! It's all-time movie. Oh, God. It's my favorite Pixar movie. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite Pixar movie? Don't make a big thing out of it. Just say one.
I mean... Immediately, I think it's Incredibles.
Incredibles is so good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mel?
Right now, I'm thinking Coco.
Coco. It's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's been our episode, everybody. New little mini podcast thing what we're trying here. Just snippets.
Spaghetti and Pixar.
Just the clip.
Snippets.
Yeah, you know, that's we're trying a new podcast style. We just record the clip. And then we get out of there. It's called Just the Clip. And then we get out of here. And everybody, peace out. It's been a good episode. So anyways, no, we've got lots of episode for you, everybody. We're going to do a couple of emails up front, comments and such. Weekend recap. I was in North Carolina. You were not.
I was not.
You were not.
Nope.
You were here.
Mm-hmm. I was here.
Our long lost son, who's been gone 2.5 weeks, came home. We're going to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it felt kind of dumb for like being so sad when we dropped him off 2.5 weeks ago.
Yeah. It did take a little of the I'm like, "Well, I'm not going to post that you're back cuz everyone thinks I'm grieving that you're gone." And I was. And
we,
then you're like,
are,
you're
but...
like, "Can I come home for Labor Day?" And you're like, "Fine."
Yeah, that's a new one.
Flights are cheap from San Jose, so anyways, and then where our main topic today, we saw an article in USA Today that I want to talk about. It's just the rise of multi-generational living.
Mm-hmm.
People are living with their adult kids, their grandparents, their great-grandparents, their great-grandchildren.
Three generations,
Three generations.
Yep.
At least three.
You prefer four?
I mean, five if we can get to it.
Okay.
I'm hoping to be a great-great-great.
Okay.
I'm going to be 100. I'm coming for...
You're going to live in the attic.
I'm coming for Moses' record. Yeah. I'm trying to hit 120, 125.
Okay.
How old was it, Abraham or Moses who had the record in the Old Testament? It doesn't matter.
I think it's Abraham.
Yeah. And...
Abraham. Sorry, I'm just being
sing
silly.
It.
I'm just being
no,
silly.
No, you did it.
I did it.
You did it. You did the song thing.
Yeah,
and of course it was Father Abraham was
yeah,
the one there.
That's the one I chimed in on.
We had many sons.
Anyway.
Well, thank you guys for tuning into our podcast. We're excited. We're very grateful. We call ourselves a little podcast that could. We're growing. We're very grateful for all of you. Thanks for coming out to shows, liking, leaving reviews, commenting, joining our Facebook group, Dustin Nickerson Comedy Fans, our Patreon.
Quick plug
which
for
is a
Patreon.
Way that you can give a little more to the pod and get a little more. You can get some meet
some
and greets at shows, some merch discounts, and a monthly Zoom hang.
Which is going to be on September 22nd. That's a Monday. Yeah, join, come out.
I think we're going to a concert that night, aren't we?
No. It's the week after.
The week after.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
This is, let's do, and leave us some reviews if you have not already. So this is a comment that we got on YouTube.
Okay.
This is from Smurfy06. You guys mentioned a lot of the negative side of internet. This is from Mike's episode, Vecchione, of internet from a comics perspective. But the internet has also made really good comedy accessible to so many people who can't afford to go to comedy clubs or who wouldn't go because you can't scroll past vulgar humor to the comic you really want to see. That is a wonderful point.
Sure.
And thank you for leaving that comment because it is very easy as comedians to kind of complain just in general, because, you know, sometimes you can be on the receiving end of a lot of negativity or people complaining, or you can feel like a bit of a failure because, you know, it's, you know, like something's not doing well, or somebody, you're constantly, you know, like we, one of the hard things about being a comedian, and there aren't a lot, but one of the hard ones is you have very public metrics, like your success level, everyone knows.
Based on views.
Based on views. And that isn't true in all life. Like, and not just like your workplace. Like your workplace might know how you're doing, but the whole internet knows how I'm doing.
Just anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone can see exactly.
Yeah. And they like
how
to
popular
exactly
yeah, you are,
and they like to views. Compare you to the most famous person in the world, and they'll be like, "Oh, well, I'm, who's this nobody?" Or I've never even heard of this person. And you're like, "Dude, I'm a professional stand-up comedian. I play great clubs every weekend. I'm one of the success stories." But what people they like go, "Well, I've never heard of you." Well, I'm sorry.
And I've never heard of you.
I've never heard of you. We we have that in common. So, but you are right. And that is, and that's certainly true of me as someone who's on the internet all the time. You're like, oh my gosh, so many great, so much great art. So much,
well,
I mean, music's a great example.
Entertainment or art, like, is available now to everyone.
I feel that way about
the internet browser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. I feel that way about music. I get really torn on the Spotify thing. And maybe I've talked to you about this before, Andy, where you're like, listen, it's egregious how little they're paying. It's a fraction of a penny you get every stream.
Yeah.
However, it has made music more accessible and more affordable. Mm-hmm. And people can, in a time where everything is expensive, music, not concerts, but the music itself is cheaper than it ever used to be. I mean, I didn't come from a lot of wealth, and so I didn't have a lot of CDs. CDs were expensive.
Yeah, they were expensive in the 90s and 2000s.
It was like
$15, $20.
CDs were never cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, they never became cheap. Like they just became obsolete.
Double disc could be like $25.
Yeah.
Like, easy.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy to think about? Your monthly Spotify is one CD.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Depending if you have ads or not.
Yeah. So my kids, they know. Have I talked to you about this before? My kids know so much more music than me because of Spotify. I mean, they'll like do deep tracks of bands that they're like, you like the Deftones, right? And I'm like, yeah. And they'll put on a song. It's like, I don't know this Deftones song because this is like the fifth track from the third album. And I had the one album.
The one album.
Right. And whatever the radio played. I mean, I had very, very, we just didn't have a lot of CDs because they were expensive. And you were kind of subject to whatever.
Kind of accessibility.
Yeah, whatever was on the radio and then whatever was on MTV, you know? So, like, our kids know Something in the Way because it was it was in the Batman soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And then it really kind of took off in the, on TikTok after that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I bet this song was huge. I was like, it was not. It was a total afterthought. You know what was huge? Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah.
Was huge. Come As You Are. Was huge. The radio songs, the Heart-Shaped Box was huge. These were the ones that I remember their videos, and I remember them on the radio. And I had two Nirvana albums. I had Unplugged, and I had Smells Like Teen Spirit. So Nevermind. I had the two. But anything after that, I'm like, I mean, I don't know the deep cuts the way that you guys know them, you know.
Yeah,
I have as an adult because I have Spotify as now well. So, but sometimes you'll go back and your listener's like, wow, this whole album was good. I didn't know.
Yeah. It's kind of nice when your taste has grown. You're like, oh, have you heard this little new band?
Yeah.
It's nice to have that like in the back pocket now.
What I noticed, though, is our kids listen to a lot of our music. A lot of 90s music is very popular with our kids. Even 80s. Like, they're all into The Cure. They like The Smiths, which I never got into as a kid, as a teen, you know. But they have not gotten into the punk, though, at least our kids, which is interesting. They've gone, which would be chronologically next.
I was going to say, that's...
There is a pretty significant movement in the, because like the Midwest emo genre,
yeah,
it's weird because that was never a genre during the emo yeah. era. Like we mm-hmm. could refer to Midwest bands, but it's become more of like a prominent yeah. genre because of social media,
yeah.
because of memes of like, you know, yeah. playing a movie intro and then like doing like the little lick and then
yeah, yeah, you're
and
right.
So
yeah.
it's like that I would argue that's actually it's there.
Yeah.
It's out mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, no, you're yeah. right. I'm just thinking about yeah. our kids. And I will say yeah. that they get into older punk music, like The Clash, yeah. Sex yeah. Pistols and stuff. So chronologically I guess they're just catching up. But you know, and then, you know, as a Christian you had to get rid of all your CDs, so
there you go.
The ones you did have.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Lasers are from the devil.
Yeah, that's secular music. So, yeah, I think it's mm-hmm. interesting to think about how much more music our kids will consume, which, and on the one hand, obviously, as a performing entertainer, I'm like, people should get paid more for these streams. But on the other hand, you're like, but exposure does matter. And I am, mm-hmm. you know, if you're going to make music and art, you want people to be able to access it, right? Access it.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking about how, like, we had TV shows and movies, like you said, to get exposed to songs.
Yeah.
Like Dawson's Creek had like Sarah McLachlan or like yeah. those songs that are like
yeah.
imprinted in our brains, like the soundtracks. And now they have like TikTok.
Oh, Mel, and, I'm so glad you said that. This,
you know,
this
trends
is,
and stuff.
Yeah. Like Fix You on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's crazy.
You're just like, that's, oh, wow.
I'm so glad yeah. you said this. Here's mm-hmm. a rant nobody cares about. I saw some post that was a picture of Kurt Cobain when it was like, imagine
yes.
him having to do short form TikTok music to try and make it.
Oh,
and
no.
And at first I was like, yeah. And then I'm like, what do you think a music video was?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the same uh-huh. thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Kurt Cobain mm-hmm. did not go, how do I make a little mini movie to advertise myself? That was a don't, like.
Wasn't he making the art for his, that Joel told me that.
Yeah.
He was, like, he would design right. the album art, which
totally.
Is impressive.
Which is impressive. Yeah. But the point being, there's always been, you've always had to do something other
extra,
than just make the music.
Yeah.
Whether it's, remember, I mean, bands have always been like, we need a radio hit. I mean, that was, and
or
like
you got to go on TRL or.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
a radio
can.
Hit,
yeah.
A radio, before a radio hit or after a radio hit was you wanted a big music video. And mm-hmm. like you're talking about getting into commercials. And there's always been, and as a comedian, there's always been this, like, too. Like
there's
comedians
extras.
Who complain about TikTok, you're
yeah.
like, dude, there's also podcasts and podcasts, just audio before that. And then you were trying to get on The Tonight Show.
Right,
and then you were
yeah.
trying to get on, mm-hmm. You were trying to get a sitcom or you're trying to get an acting role. It's always extra. You always got to promote
yeah.
yourself.
Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what shameless self-promotion is.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it comes with the territory. You
right.
cannot, it's unavoidable. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
it's
not like Cobain
though.
Loved interviews.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
yes.
oh, you have to go on camera
PR.
And talk to people
yeah.
about your art.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the way he showed up to half these interviews.
Yeah.
You know, it was just kind of like, I mean, which is what made him great. Cause it's like, I'm not going to play into it.
Yeah.
But if I have to do it.
Yeah.
Then this is how I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And like, how many mm-hmm. interviews were total train wrecks, hilarious in retrospect.
Yeah.
Brilliant in retrospect. But in the moment, people are like, what is this?
Well, I mean, yeah. one of my favorite mm-hmm. artists ever of all time was Bowie. And Bowie, when you go back and you're like, he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
In every mm-hmm. interview and every,
calculated.
All
yeah.
very calculated. Mm-hmm. So yeah. our kids got, their artists got their stuff. Our kids
yeah.
got our own stuff. So anyways, good, good comment, Smurfy. That, I don't know, makes you think about a lot of different stuff as far as like, it's not good or bad. It's just different, you know? Mm-hmm. Another comment on YouTube here.
Yeah.
This is from Grant Krotz. Nothing says I'm married when the bad boy of Nateland is sitting with a box of panty liners on a shelf above his head. Hilarious. I don't know if you noticed this, but
I didn't know what was behind him.
Panty liners.
I did not notice.
I thought it was like a joke or something.
Multiple people.
Yeah.
Multiple comments pointed this out that when you go back to the Mike Vecchione episode and you look behind him.
I knew there was a box up there. I just couldn't see.
It's very. I don't know if it was yeah. intentional, but I like Mike so much, and him leaning into being the bad boy of Nateland is very very funny. So
I did when we did the pod with Brian Bates.
Yeah,
I was like, nice built-in bookshelves, Brian.
That's
like
funny,
he
yeah.
like was really So same kind of thing. Yeah. Like you're looking at the outline of their home.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I reposted the back to school, the driving clips.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was looking at it. I was like, what looks different about this? And it's the white wall behind us. Mm-hmm. And you guys did such a good job in here. Oh. It looks so good.
Thanks.
You did great. Every time you cut to here, I like this, you know. We need to rotate it in a little bit, maybe get some new stuff in there. But you guys did a really good job.
Thanks.
Really good job.
We need to go dig in some
treasure
troves.
No, this is my stuff. This is...
No.
These are my only contributions to the studio. Just random. But
no, I mean, Andy and I, you were all happy to dig up knickknacks. That's all. Yeah. That's all I meant.
Well, but, it's football season, so I could see me rotating.
Yeah.
Some more sports affiliated stuff up there.
Yeah.
Mel, why don't you read this? This is from Alicia. This is in the Facebook group.
All right.
Dustin Nickerson Comedy Fans.
All the feels about college drop-off are so real. Our oldest son's school was only 45 minutes away, Oregon State University.
Corvallis, go Beavers.
But we were still a mess on the way home. We left for Hawaii a few days later to drench the beach with our tears, so that was helpful, LOL. The adjustment was a little rocky, but with lots of prayers, phone calls, and some weekend trips home, we all got through it. Fast forward 4 years, and he's living on his own, working, and still an hour away. But in the opposite direction. Now our youngest is transferring to OSU, but no empty nests for us. He's decided it's cheaper to commute. All this to say, it does get better, and it's wonderful to see your kids become responsible adults. Hugs to you both, Mel and Dustin. Thank you, Alicia. Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's just, I think someone said it well, like, you know, like the first time you're a kindergarten parent, you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, the schools, these kids are so tall.
How are they doing? How are they doing?
You know, and when you start preschool, you're like, okay, so like the backpack and the lunch and the water bottle and then, you know, like, so that's how it is when you enter a new stage with your firstborn.
Yeah.
You're just like completely like have no idea what you're doing all of a sudden. And so that's definitely what this summer has been like for us this fall.
Yeah, you just definitely
navigating a fully new stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what's funny is
what did you just
think
of?
I was just thinking about how I wondered, will this get easier with our next two kids? And then I remember, and then I was like, okay, well, what was it like with each of them? And if you want to know the difference between how much more relaxed you get with each kid, when we dropped our first child off at kindergarten, I was nervous. I was scared.
I remember the moment.
I was worried. We were
crying.
We were emotional. We were there for pickup 30 minutes early. Does he need us? Call us if you need anything. The middle child, we gave her a hug. It was nice. We took a picture. I love you so much. Goodbye. The third child, we literally weren't there. We were out of town on an anniversary trip, and the babysitter dropped the child. We missed our youngest child's first day of kindergarten because we're like, they'll be fine.
We're like, there's a lot of more milestones out there. I just got a third day of school photo.
Hey, babysitter, could you take a picture of her first day of school so we have this documented? So that makes me feel better that we'll probably be a little less stressed.
Yeah.
You know.
It'll be old hat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
What
I'm that you just can't. The first time is just it's just different.
Well,
you know,
sounds like we're not going to drop our youngest off at college.
Uber to the airport.
Yeah. Bye. We got you a U-Haul.
It's in the driveway.
I rented it. I'll help you load a couple things up. Nothing big. I don't know, my back can't handle it, but. Yeah, I you know.
You're like, we're grandparents now.
Yeah.
Good luck getting to college.
It is. I think with each heavy milestone that you go through as a parent, as an adult, everything just becomes like heavier and therefore almost lighter in some regards. You're like, I know the weight of this, but I also mm-hmm. know what real weight is.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. first day of kindergarten is nice and it's, mm-hmm. but it's not real weight. Weight mm-hmm. is the struggles that they can have in school, friends, bullying, you know,
like a car accident,
like injury, yeah. health, they're moving, yeah. money yeah. struggles. That's mm-hmm. like, you just know what's like fun and you're like, this is heavy, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot, mm-hmm. there's a lot of light parenting mm-hmm. and real heavy parenting teaches you to, I don't know, there's more light than you realize, I guess.
Yeah, I guess we're just super seasoned now.
Yeah. I talk confidently about it on stage now. I speak, yeah. like, there's a tone in my voice of which I'm like, I'm actually speaking with a little bit. You told me this, and mm-hmm. I think this is great, and maybe you can say it again, of just, like, you have all this information about parenting young children, and you're like, I almost don't know what to do with it, or people need to listen, or...
Well, I think everyone has to kind of find their own way.
Right.
You know, like, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, it's like growing up.
Young parents do not listen to older parents. They don't do it.
Oh, well, no way.
No. And because the trends and the, you know, the books, like everything changes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even recognize the baby gear anymore.
No one knows more about parenting than a mother yeah. with their very first child
under
the age of 6 months.
Yeah. Who's like looking at their who's looking at their 6 month crying, and they're like letting them cry themselves to sleep, and because they're going, well, I'm supposed to let them.
Well, I
don't think that applies to your 6 month. I think the baby's hungry. Feed the baby.
These trends do just, you know, what's called the pendulum swings.
Yeah.
But also they have to have that. What's the word I always like want to use here? Like that earnestness, they need that.
Yeah,
it's like an 18-year-old like going out into the world. If they didn't think they could do it,
yeah,
then that would be an issue.
Yeah.
So like the new parents who are like, I know everything. I read one book.
Yep.
You know, and then we're like 18, 19 years in. You're like, okay.
Yeah. They're like, gentle parenting is the new thing, and you're like, cool. I'm going to say no to that. But for the record, I also said no to Tiger Mom or whatever. Yeah. Was that a Tiger Mom, right? I don't even know if it was a book. I think it might have been a document or like a reality TV show. It doesn't matter. But the point is people were doing
it. Yeah.
Just like the people are doing the gentle parenting thing.
And the
people
are baby-led feeding.
And P90X. And
new FAFO.
Isn't it so funny?
Yes.
Like every 6 months, a new parenting trend and a new workout trend comes out. You're like, hey, we're gentle parenting now. You're like, okay, this is just P90X. I get it.
The Shakeology, like the.
I get it, man. And I'm here.
We just repackaged it.
This is the Tybo of parenting.
Yeah. Yes. You're like, it's Tiger King now. And you're like, now it's Tiger Mom now, or it's Let Them Now. Or you're like, okay, Pilates is pretty big. And what were
CrossFit.
Some of the. CrossFit had a moment.
It's like. It's the new fad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And parenting.
It's the new fidget spinner.
Yeah, exactly. And as far as I can tell, parenting and health are very similar, that there's all these fads.
And whatever sells.
Right. Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
You market to these young parents mm-hmm. and these young adults who are trying to say healthy.
Yes.
And you're like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We got, oh no, it's saunas now. Oh, it was cold plunge, but now saunas.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that's parenting.
So
cold plunge. Okay. Wait, which one? Am I supposed to throw my baby into a thing of ice water?
So are we all cold plunging or just the babies?
Yeah. Is this a baptism? Is this
an infant baptism?
Yeah.
And cold plunges.
Cold plunge is another one. There's just a new, there's always a new fad.
The sauna releases the toxins.
Yeah. For the baby. The baby's toxins.
The swaddle.
The baby is inflamed. Oh yeah, remember the wrap? That was a big thing for a minute.
Now, oh, we're swaddling overnight. We're day swaddling. We're night swaddling.
In the bed, out of the bed, side sleeper,
co-sleeper.
Now don't wear your baby.
Yeah.
Family bed.
Yeah.
I remember
we had a don't sleeper. So we
no sleeper. Okay, remember when?
Well, let me put a button on that before you go.
Okay, it might be about swaddling.
Well, before you get into what I was going to say was, and then I want to hear about swaddling, is like fads, health, like parenting. The fads come and go, but really, there's like eat healthy and exercise, and be kind and loving and humbling and humble to your children. They're like, the fads are all what they are. But like, do you love your kid? Do you try and provide them? Do you work out? Do you eat healthy?
That's it. That's the main thing.
And if a fad helps you get there, then great.
By all means. But know that they are just selling to your insecurities.
Yes. And maybe don't combine them and do CrossFit with your children. It's not good for their back. Anyway, so swaddling.
Joints.
You were good at wrapping them. I could never. Were you?
So
I could not swaddle.
We had these big old swaddle blankets and these teeny tiny babies. They're 7 pounds, right? And it was like, if you cannot wrap your child, then you failed. Like, if sometime in the night your child gets a handout,
they're gonna
like, well, that's it, it's done.
That's a future drug addict now.
You're
your
like,
kid.
I mean, but like, I'm waking up and the baby, his arm's out. Yeah. So like, what should I do?
No, if your kid escapes, if your kid can get an arm out from their swaddle, they're not even gonna graduate high school. They need to be swaddled, listening to classical music, because that was a big thing.
Yeah, baby Einstein was huge.
Yeah.
For, in 07.
Yeah. Was that the name of the music, Baby Einstein?
Yeah,
that was the
company.
I thought that was a PBS show.
Well. No, they were. It was a DVD series.
Oh,
probably VHS
too.
Yeah. So
we're dating ourselves.
But that's just the point.
Yeah.
Is like, they're like, the pack and play is the worst thing you can do for a kid.
Yeah.
And now you're like, everyone's got pack and plays again.
It's amazing how much it changed. And then our kids will look at the things that we did and be like, in the same way that we see videos of kids in the front seat of trucks, like, and you're like, dude, we were in the back of the truck. We weren't even, that is crazy. Two times ago, I was driving in South Carolina. I saw a guy in the back of a pickup truck, and I was like, that has been a minute since I have seen that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you see it, you're like, oh my gosh.
Around town?
Yeah.
Like, not on the freeway.
No, but I don't remember if I ever rode on a freeway in the back of a truck, but I rode in the back of a lot of trucks growing up. My uncle had trucks, like.
I did it like once in Texas.
Yeah. Well, we were millennials, so we were in the back of trucks, but they'd be like, get down. Yeah. Which is like, they're like, no, it's unsafe, but I don't want to get in trouble.
The worst thing that can happen is if I get a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's read this email here from Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Melissa, you can read this
one. Baked oatmeal is amazing. I don't like traditional oatmeal, but when I learned about baked oatmeal, I was hooked. The description on the pod today was pretty good. If you are having fruity baked oatmeal,
I called it a cobbler.
My kids don't like the fruit flavors though, because they all say warm fruit is weird.
Oh.
They don't really like fruit pies or crisps either. Crazy, right?
That is interesting.
And it does soften the fruit. However, they do love a baked oatmeal recipes. Our family favorite is peanut butter baked oatmeal.
Oh my gosh.
When I first found this recipe, it really was more like a dessert, so I cut down the butter and sugar. I serve it for breakfast with cut up bananas on top.
Okay, so I like watching you two react to recipes. So read it for us here, Belle.
Okay, so we've got, I'm not going to say all the quantities.
Yeah, just say
I can put that on the Facebook page. But we got quick oats, brown sugar. She cut down the sugar. A little bit of butter, milk alternative, one egg, half cup peanut butter. You got to say that. Then we got the usuals, baking powder, salt, vanilla. Mix all ingredients in an 8x8 pan. bake at 350 for 25 minutes. We also love pumpkin baked oatmeal in the fall and eggnog baked oatmeal in December. There's so many great ways to bake oatmeal.
Sounds like a really nice house.
I know. Sarah, can we come over?
This is every friend's parent I wish I was hanging out with.
Sarah's the best mom ever. I was like, you're doing seasonal baked oatmeal?
I know. It was like cute. And then she was like, and now? And I'm like, what?
Tell me about your kitchen decor.
Yeah. Sarah, Mel was saying in the BTS that she wants someone to do Thanksgiving with. I think you found Sarah. That sounds unbelievable. How do we get this worked into the rotation, Mel? Mel bakes up a little stress every morning.
Yeah, because I have to wake up to the cats and the kids.
Mel wakes up messy and stressy.
They're repaving the road on trash day.
Eat your breakfast.
I love this.
We leave in 7 minutes.
It's over, Destin.
I love it. This is great.
This is it.
I don't know how you eat this without like two giant glasses of milk, though.
I know.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like my mouth is sticking just reading this.
I like a lot of milk in my oatmeal.
Yeah.
So I would pour milk on this.
Yeah.
I would eat it like that.
Oh, interesting.
I think.
When I had that baked oatmeal in wherever I was a month ago, Wisconsin, Madison, there was some milk on it. It was good, yeah.
Like in a bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
Okay.
Yeah, see, that's an interesting idea. If it's like they take a little square and they put it in the middle of a bowl and they put a little moat of milk around it. Like,
That's not my grandpa.
Going back to cereal kind of.
Yeah, it's just like, what are we now? It's like we're re-deconstructing baked oatmeal. Like once you mix it up, it's just oatmeal again.
Do you remember how my grandpa had on his birthday every year?
So the neighbor, I don't know how he got this neighbor. He has a neighbor that makes him, well, he's passed, but
German chocolate cake, which is his favorite cake.
German chocolate cake, like a tiered German chocolate cake, would just show up at his house every birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So he's through a party. And then he would have a slice in a bowl and pour milk over it.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds delicious.
It was so good.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'd kill me now, but. All right, let's do one more email, and then we get a, you know what, let's save this. No, I want to read this one, actually. So this next one, this is Katie. You know, Katie is a patron, Mel. Katie and her boyfriend, Mike, are often on the Zooms together. They're out in Boston. They're that couple in Boston.
Awesome.
You know who they are. So
I know them from the Patreon Zooms. Okay. Volleyball whores. Okay. Hey, Dustin and Melissa. I was just catching up on some episodes and wanted to let you know that the volleyball tournament episode made me have a PTSD-type flashback. I played travel volleyball all through high school, and hearing you talk about the tournament sent a chill down my spine. I felt the rage boil through me when talking about the other team line judging games and missing calls. Volleyball is a special kind of cult, and I am grateful for my many years, but at the same time, I do not wish it on my worst enemy. Nothing like spending a beautiful Saturday inside a drafty gym. I can say, as your girls age, things will get better and worse. Better in the quality of play and getting to watch them develop. Worse in the tension and amount of time you spend inside. I'm sure it is different in SoCal since you have sand volleyball and other outdoor ventures. I grew up in Cincinnati where all you do was travel between Louisville, Indianapolis, and Cincy to play in a dimly lit gym all weekend long before returning home to play in your non-air-conditioned high school gym all week. Indoor sports are great when you don't have to go out in the cold and rain, but it's the worst thing when the 3 months of good weather are eaten up by volleyball. I may be pale no matter what, but being a recluse in a gym never helped that in the summer. Anyways, love the pod and can't wait to have you in Boston in October. Sorry to have missed the recent Zoom, but Mike and I got engaged that same day, so it sort of slipped our mind. I guess we will have to reread your book soon, Best Katie. Oh, my gosh. Engagement.
Yeah. Surprise engagement story on an email for Mel there. Yeah. Congrats, Katie and Mike. We're very happy for both of you. We'll see you in Boston.
So awesome. I do, you know, the gyms are hard, the volleyball gyms, and we don't need to talk too much about this, but, you know,
it's a lot.
Tiny little bleachers, and
yeah,
you got to keep your eyes up or you'll get hit. yeah. It's very overwhelming in there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, let us take a break from talking about volleyball because it's all we're going to talk about in the spring again. So, yeah. Well, thanks, Katie, and congratulations to you and Mike. Let's do a little weekend recap. We'll do this quick because we are 40 minutes in and we haven't gotten to our topic. It's kind of a thing we do here on the pod. We do the topic the last 20 minutes. I was in... Well, continues to be, I think, the most underrated region of our country, the Carolinas. I love them so much. Just such a fan. I was in Charlotte and Greensboro. I had been to Greensboro. I'd forgotten I'd been to Greensboro. Sorry, when I had been to Greensboro last, it was when I was touring with Tay when she was really on the, like, the immediate like kind of pop come up where it was like four cities, 4 days. So Greensboro show was great. And then shows that... in Charlotte were great. Thank you to everyone that came out. We were staying uptown. Charlotte's important. It's important to them that you call it uptown. It's not downtown. They don't call their downtown uptown. Mm-hmm. So it's uptown. It was loud. It's lively. It's got a lot of stuff going on. I want to give a couple shout out to a couple coffee shops that I went. I found them on Sprudge, which is that website. Remember Jordan recommended to me. Mm-hmm. Sprudge is a good coffee map situation. Shout out to them. Not just coffee. Is one of the spots. You know, places have, we've been to a few of them. They're all kind of a ripoff of Reading Terminal in Philly, which is it's just everything's there. All, what would you even call it?
Food hall. Like,
yeah, food hall market. Sure. Yeah. You know, they're very popular right now. Like, they're growing.
Yeah.
And we went to, there's one there.
It's basically a mall food court, but like, slightly chain based.
It's higher quality.
Yeah.
It's like here's elevated. A great local pizza as opposed to Sbarro, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But San Diego Point Loma has one.
Liberty Station,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And that one's good.
They all died in Orange County. Orange County did not like them. Like Union Market was like the known like food hall.
You can't come and for your malls like, in Orange County.
That's true.
How dare you
We got to ride Spectrum.
Yeah. No, Orange County is when malls never died. They're still very popular there.
That's true.
So there's the one in downtown LA we went to. Remember, was really great. There's a lot of.
I can't remember the name.
Are we talking about the official downtown market?
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, that's like legendary downtown LA. I mean, like some of the best, like there's Michelin star food in there.
Yeah, it's great. So good. Yeah. And we stumbled upon it. So that's, but the Not All Coffee is one, or Not Just Coffee is in one of those. And then Night Swim is very good as well. I went to Night Swim. Night Swimming. That one's right on the nose. It's an R.E.M. song.
Night Running.
Night Running all night. But no, there's a Night Swimming R.E.M. song. Right. Jeez, guys.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have the CD.
I didn't have the CD. Callback. But the funny thing about Charlotte is it's banking is their big industry, which is the lamest industry you could have. But
they're proud of it.
But they're I don't even know if they're proud of it. It just is what it is.
Okay.
But Charlotte itself is a great city. But you have like something like that Night Swim coffee is like the cool, independent, awesome, everything I like out of a coffee shop. Where's it at? It's in the lobby of a Wells Fargo, the Wells Fargo building.
Oh, man.
Which means it's closed at 4 and then it's closed on the weekends. But anyways, that's there. Mm-hmm. Football's back. Watch some football this weekend. Go Huskies. Go San Jose State Spartans. I stayed up to watch you guys lose to Central Michigan. But my son was at the game. And we have a picture of him on the TV in the student section.
Yeah.
Pretty fun.
Oh, nice. That is fun. Nice.
Pretty
one of his friend's parents got the photo.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Speaking of Joel, he came back. Joel, you know, one of the things about college is a lot of time they're very regional. So he's like, hey, a lot of my friends are going home in the Bay Area.
Yeah, most of his teammates and roommates were going home.
He had a great race on Saturday.
Friday.
Yeah. And then he's like, it's 3-day weekend. Can I come home? And you're like, yeah, flights are cheap. So Joel came home, which was I thought was interesting. We we'll do a quick recap of this, but I was gone, but you were like, what people don't tell you about like how to integrate your kid coming back from college, but our life has been turning. It's just been happening. Mm-hmm. So you're like at the Kathy and Shelley, our neighbors. They had
I was at a neighbor's
birthday party.
Birthday party, and I drive with Gloria every Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
which I need like
to log the hours.
Car, you know, so he can have the car Sunday afternoon. We're having a heat wave. I have Gloria had volleyball 8 to 10 Monday morning.
Yeah.
Claire went to a movie, a 10:50 showing on Labor Day with all the retirees.
The 50th anniversary of Jaws.
But it was like her first movie where I went home.
Yeah.
I was like, you're safe with the retirees. You know, it's 10 a.m.
Yeah.
At the mall. On Labor Day.
Yeah, we trust Kathy and Shelley pretty. Yeah, that's a safe environment to be in. You're like.
I saw everyone getting their tickets. I was like, you guys are going to be fine.
Yeah.
But you know,
oh, you mean, sorry. 11. You were talking about, at the movie.
She
was
11 with a friend, and, you know, I came back. So I had a lot of 2-hour windows. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Where I had to drop someone off, park, pick someone up, drop someone off, pick someone up. She had a parent-kid volleyball game on Friday night. Gloria went to the first home game, the high school football game.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, so everyone had their...
You're the only one that didn't watch football this weekend, you and Claire.
That's right.
Me and Joel watched a couple games.
Everyone had their schedules, and then you're like, oh, 18-year-old's back.
Yeah.
You know, so... Anyways, I didn't make... I think there's a tendency with... your oldest or, you know, the one home from college, like, oh, we need to, like, do something, right? You know, and then you're like, nope, life is just lived in, like, the everyday moments.
Mm.
So you just be around him and did his laundry and just chatted in between all of his social activities.
Yeah, just
had little blips of conversation.
I mean, I got home yesterday and we had to go to the airport and I was like, oh, I'll get to, and you called me on the way, which was nice of you to be like, hey, just heads up, Joel's not home. And I was like, okay, good to know. We'll integrate when I can. And he was home for 90 minutes when I was home before I drove him to the airport. And in that time, he had to shower and pack. And you're like, all right.
And do laundry again.
Yeah.
Claire tried out for a play.
That's the funny thing. Our auditions. Labor Day, our Gloria had volleyball practice. We had to drive our kid back to the airport to go. And there was an audition for...
next play.
The next
play.
So
it was just boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
Happy day off.
Mm-hmm. To the teachers who had to be there to do an audition?
Well, that wasn't school sponsored. Okay. It's a theater program.
Yeah.
But
still.
I mean, they chose that day.
Well, I think because you have to have a parent there. It's 4 to 5:30.
Yeah.
So you're like, this is actually better. Because, you know, today's a work day and... our daughter has a volleyball game at her school, so it's like, that's no better.
Yeah.
You know? But I know. It's wild. There was a line. There's a line out the door, for this audition, so.
I went and dropped you off to skip having to find parking, and then I went home, showered. I mean, it's just, there's so much of that when you're just like, you do this, okay, this is my shower window, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, it was a busy weekend, but let's get to this article here.
Mm-hmm.
So... I think this is really interesting to talk about because we lived it for a while, you know, as well. Mm-hmm. So I saw this article, The Rise of Multi-Generational Housing, Why We're Seeing More Generations Under One Roof. If you haven't noticed this trend in your own life and other people's lives as well, generations are living together. Adult kids, it says in here, 2023 paper found nearly half of adults 18 to 29 live with their parents, which is up 25% since 1960 and at levels not seen since the Great Depression.
Oh my gosh, so 100 years later.
More adults 18 to 29 are living with their parents than since the Great Depression.
I believe it. Yeah.
I mean, it's not a belief, it's a fact.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally understand it.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And it's, we're up on grandparents living with their kids and grandkids as well. There's a lot of reasons for it. We all know the main one, money.
Yeah. just like, this is how much a house costs or an apartment costs. And... we could split it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy to think about that there's still like boomers out there ranting about kids these days. These kids, they won't. When I left the house when I was 18 and da 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 da. You're like, hey, it's as bad for us as it ever has been since the Great Depression. Half of 18 to 29. That's crazy to think about. That every 29 years old you see, there's a 50% chance. You think they're all losers, boomer? You think they're all not trying? Maybe it's hard. The circumstances. No, I'm not. Yeah. Not all boomers are like that, of course.
No, I think
a lot of boomers are living with their kids.
I literally had a conversation with a neighbor, and they own two homes, and they're upset about the ADUs that are going in our neighborhood. And I was just like, yeah, it's just like, it's really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need more options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Bragging about leaving their house when they're 18. It's like, well, will you leave your house now?
Yeah.
You're 80?
That's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is. That's a good example. This is one of our neighbors. It's a good example. They have a house that they don't Airbnb and they don't rent to anybody in another state that they just go visit sometimes. And you go, bingo dingo. That's the issue here, is there is a lack of properties that are reasonably priced for people to live in.
And
you know?
Also, a lot of the lots, like in our neighborhood, are huge.
Yeah.
Like you can, like more and more in our neighborhood, people are putting full homes behind their front home.
Yeah.
So it's like two full homes.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And
this is my front house.
Yeah.
And you just kind of do a gate situation and... Like, what?
No, it's modern living.
Yeah.
It's modern urban living in cities and near cities.
Yeah.
You know, where, like, if you want land and spread out. I mean, we always say that we're renters in San Diego. We could be homeowners in Toledo. But that's a choice that we make. And we're not victims in this scenario.
No, we're also just, we are millennials.
Yeah.
You know?
And half of millennials own homes. Only half.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, but that is crazy to think about, that is that many people are and it circumstantially, it makes a lot of sense. And I think it's worth like thinking of, it's worth like simmering on it for a little and just kind of pondering like, wow, we're alive for a big, housing. I don't know if that's the right word, but like we are living through a very big shift in living circumstances. The rise of ADUs, the rises of adult children living with their kids, the rise of grandparents in the home. It's very interesting, you know?
Well, yeah, because even if you think about like your aunts and uncles, like you're like, oh, well, they all own homes. And they're and then you're like, but do any of their kids?
Yeah.
And you're like, no.
Yeah.
You're like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Just because the, yeah, it just... It's all shifted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think embrace the shift is what I would say.
Yeah.
Like, if I mean, according to this stat, if you're really sad that your college kid just moved out, well, good news. They're coming back. They're coming back with some debt. Who would not want that for their... Who would not want... To me, like, that...
There's a lot of benefits.
That's... Okay, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Like, I read that, and I don't... There's two ways you can interpret that. One, you can despair over, like, man, things are so expensive, and the job market is bad, and the economy is bad, and it's getting worse. There's some trend right now of like, saw on TikTok from some country song, like, I got some gas and a Coca-Cola. Like, that's the trend, and they're doing videos. And I was like, what is that, $100? A full tank and a Coca-Cola? It's very expensive. Yeah, it's...
1,000%.
Yeah.
I would go as far as to say, like, are your second career or whatever in comedy happened because of our multi-generational living?
Yeah.
Because your dad lived with us and we had babies and we just had benefits.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm going to run to the store, like, keep an eye on the littles.
Yeah.
Or, like, the babies are sleeping. I'm going to go with Dustin, one of his shows.
I'm going to miss the first day of kindergarten. No,
But I, you know, like just it provided a lot of flexibility financially and with time and childcare that we wouldn't have been able to afford otherwise.
And that's what I was going to say was the other way to look at this and think about this, and this is how I think about it, is like, yeah, those are all big bummers. But the great thing about multi-generational living, in our experience, is you receive support and give support.
Mm-hmm.
That's being a family.
And it's the relationships can be like furthered.
Yeah.
Like our son has always been close to your dad.
Yes.
Because they watched football every Sunday together.
Who are these people that are like, get my kids out of my house. I never want to see my parents again. I don't want my grandparents to have a relationship with my kids. If you guys can live close to one another in some circumstances together, if it works out, that's a perk for everybody involved.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much in the news about like loneliness and everyone's on their phones and not interacting.
No, everyone be on your phone in separate rooms in the house. That's what's great, is that you and your kids and your dad can all sit on the couch and be on your phones together. That's multi-generational living.
That's community.
That's community. Hey, DM me that reel.
Yeah.
Did
you like
my last story?
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Did you see my tweet? I don't know if you saw my story earlier. I think you're totally right. I mean, I think my dad lived with us for 10 years.
Yeah, through the pandemic, too.
Through the pandemic. Well, great point, though. That was a time that he was really benefited from us, because we did his grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. He was vulnerable. Like, he was part of the vulnerable community. My dad, had some medical stuff. And so we were there. Yeah. We were caring for him. We're helping him. Yeah. And also, I don't know, I like having my dad in my life.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, it was nice. We watched Seahawks games together.
Mm-hmm. Grilled.
Yeah, and then Joel, wrote all these graduation cards, thank you cards, and he wrote a really nice one to my dad, his grandpa, who he lived with, and they feel close. I talked to my dad yesterday about my son in college, and he was like, I'm proud. He thinks about him. I was like, I think you're more involved with his life than you were mine, but what?
Yeah.
No, he's retired now. He's got time. Yeah, so I don't know. You had some articles you were pulling up there, too. Apparently Gen Z is going to be super loaded.
Yeah, so I think what makes that interesting is that it's like millennials have the most to give, in the sense that both like boomers and Gen Z are really cheap. So it's like they realize like, oh, if I just stay here longer, and some boomers are like, oh, if I just move in with my millennial kids.
Interesting, yeah.
You know, it's like they can make, because the wealthiest people are also like the cheapest people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's almost interesting how millennials that were told to be like, go out there, leave home, live your best life, like try to make it for yourself. So we're dumping a ton of our money to make it, but then we can't afford anything.
Yeah.
The irony is then like our generation below us and the generation before us are both like, well, we learned how to like save our money.
That's interesting.
Oh, cool, cool. Just, you could all just live at my house that I completely sacrificed my life for.
Isn't there the thing too, in that the boomer money is probably going to go to Gen Z?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like part of it, because like you don't usually get wealth transfer directly one generation. Yeah. It skips and goes to like the grandkids.
This is why they call millennials, you know what our nickname is? The unluckiest generation.
There it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're called the unluckiest generation. And we'll add that that was before I even knew about this, that it looks like boomers' money is going to go to Gen Z.
Well, Gen X gets in the comments and complains about being like the skipped or forgotten.
The forgotten generation.
The forgotten generation.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which why the, even in that story, they're not even mentionable.
They're the Korean War of generations.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah.
You guys chime in on the Facebook group and send us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. If you guys have done multi-generational living. I mean, I hear parents talking about, there was like this old trope of like, my loser son living in my basement. And I don't think that the parents that I hear talk about who their adult children live with them, they seem close. I think that there's like, I'm helping my kid. We're still close. We spend time together. Someone to help me cook Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, I think it can be a safety net or like a nest egg, in the sense that you're transferring wealth to your kids via, they don't have to pay housing.
Yeah.
You know, or they're paying you an under market value, for their room or whatever. Like, I don't know. It's just, these costs are expensive.
So. Yeah. So we can't give you money, but we can give you quality time.
Well, or a roof over your head.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
No, I think there was a stigma to it. I'm only assuming because I haven't lived this, but I think there was a stigma if your kid moved back in with you.
100%.
Like that they weren't making it in the world. But as college begins costing so much more and homes and just the economy is difficult.
How do they not move back in?
Yeah, I mean, you graduate, you have this debt, you are getting an entry-level job.
Yeah.
You know, like...
That's a perfect articulation. That's a new life stage that has emerged in our generation and really through our kids and younger millennials and older Gen Zers is this transition after college where you do not go immediately on your own. Half of them are coming back home.
Mm-hmm. Well, because this shift happened like with healthcare.
Yeah.
You know, like you can be on your parents' plan until you're 27.
Yeah.
You know, we had two kids. We're a family of four.
You can't compare us to anybody because we're so different in that regard.
But like.
But if you think about, we also had more reasonable rent options, even back then, 20 years ago when we were coming out. Yeah. Like you could get a rental house for $1,000 or something like that. Like that was like. Okay,
no,
we
I
were
mean,
both.
The costs have just like
skyrocketed.
So,
yeah. So
with everything.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense if you think about it. Like these kids now have some debt, and now they're in entry level job positions, and they're trying to get into a very difficult job market and a rough economy, and they're like, I mean, in some ways, I'm like, how could you not have to move back in for a little while? Yeah. You know, which means we need to get a bigger house, apparently. Pressure's on us again. I'm like, now it
still
is
still the unluckiest generation.
I know, because I am thinking about it. I'm like, dude, does that mean like 4 years from now, like essentially Gloria and Joel are just going to tag team one in out? Like we trade one in, one out. Joel's out, Gloria's in, or so Gloria's out, Joel's back in.
There's like a new phrase.
Now he's 22.
This new phrase, it's not emptiness, it's like open doorness.
Oh, okay.
Like come back and go. And, I don't know. I've never done this before.
No. Well, and nobody has. And like, I mean, of course, generationally over decades in societies and cultures, they're looking at us being like, nobody's ever lived with their grandparents. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
We've all lived together forever. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
But now we're like writing articles about like, families have never lived together. I don't know. I think they always have.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, shoot us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Leave us comments. Come to a live show. I didn't promote the dates. You know how to find them. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. We want to give a special shout out and thanks to our As Essential as Oils level patrons. That's $25 up a month and up. You get it. Thank you, everybody. It means a lot to us. That is Adam Bush.
Avril Griffiths.
Allison Nelson.
Andy and Darlene Gerton.
Bonnie Galindo.
Brandon Schoenberger.
Carrie Teague.
Chris Finn.
Christopher and Bridget Finlin.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Eibling.
Damaris Diaz Steven.
Daniel Owens.
Dave and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Dustin Daly.
Jason and Francis White.
Jen Thirk.
Jonathan Rivera.
Jordan Cowan.
Juliana Smith.
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Matt and Sam Slosdom.
Michelle Carlson.
Nick Cordell.
Norman Perron.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Also, if that's Perrin, I'm sorry. Also, Preston and Rachel Wilson. I'm sorry if we mess these up. We're trying our best.
You're up.
Raina Camps.
Robert and Nellie Capen.
Stephen Menya.
Zachary and Tammy Moyle.
And Tiffany Payne.
Bye. Thank you.